This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back in to another hour of Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you. A little salty this morning in terms of KU and K-State's performances over the weekend. Great performance by the Shockers, though. Over the weekend. We'll get back into KU in just a minute because I think there's a lot to digest and work through there. But let's take a minute here, Tommy, for the Shockers. That was I was not at the game. I know a lot of people were because it was, you know, whether it was a packed house or not, it looked great on television and it sounded great on television. The listed attendance of 6294. That felt like what we all love about Shocker basketball over the years. It felt like that energy was back there and the players did not disappoint. They delivered with it. And I got to tell you, if I'd have told you it was a game where Xavier Bell was only able to play 18 minutes because of foul trouble based on things that we saw, I mean, come on. Like that's a performance. Now you want that's, and man, that makes you feel good, right? It makes you feel good. It makes me, at least in the moment, forget about losses to some of the bad teams in the American and get back to what we think this team ought to be able to do this year and ought to be capable of doing this year. And now we're to this point of the season where, hey, it's a 4-game win streak. Okay. Two of those wins are at South Florida and home against Memphis. Those are pretty good wins. Now they have some tough games left on the schedule, and they've got some that aren't so tough. At least don't lose any that you shouldn't lose and see if you can keep it going. We got a little bit of this at the very end of last year into the NCAA tournament. Maybe it started earlier this year, Tommy, and we could see something where Wichita State ends this season in a place closer to where they thought they might have been able to start it. They've got some work to do if they want to climb into that. I think we said, or I said at least, I'm going to put where, because I think I said top four. They will need to make up some ground to get there, but they play two of those teams they would have to pass to get there. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with bringing that type of energy to a program when you see them get that kind of win, because it shows you what they're capable of, I think, as much as anything else. It shows you what the program is still capable of, as low as it's felt for so many times this year. That high is still there, and man, it's right there. It's right there on the court. It's right there off the court. It's right there with the fan base. It's right there if they can just go take it.
Well, think about it this way. If you would have told anybody when the Shockers were 1-7 in conference play and 11-10 overall, that 4 games later, they would be 5-7 in American play and 15-10 overall, with one of those wins being an upset over a ranked Memphis team. I don't think anybody would have believed you that, you know, that like that's where we are right now with a 4-game winning streak and the top 25 upset. So it's incredibly meaningful. Yeah. Like they do have a hole they've got to dig themselves out of. When you start 1-7 in conference play, that's a pretty deep hole that you've got to dig yourself out of, but they're well on their way to do that. You used the phrase at the very beginning of the show when we were just briefly talking about Wichita State. You said that that's the kind of win that can turn the tide for a program. I would rather say, and you may be right there, I would rather say, though, it's the kind of win that you can build off of. Because I don't know if a singular win like that against Memphis just automatically turns things around, but I do think you can build off of it. It can be a foundation. It can be, you know, part of the building block to get things, you know, turned around. I think holistically, it can be a large part of it. I'm not sure singularly it's the only thing, but it definitely is a really good start. And the fact that they've won 4 in a row and they found themselves in an opportunity to, you know, continue to improve where they stand in the conference, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing. It is that win, but it is that win is a part of a 4-game win streak. It is that win came on national television, and it is that win came in front of the best crowd we've seen in that arena in a long time. It's all of those things, but it is the thing to me that can, and look, when we talk about things like turning around a program, that's a really fluid term. What does that mean? To me, it just means momentum and energy back into a program, right? That's what it means to me. Going into this season, I think there was some of that there, and they had, once they got to conference play, a wildly disappointing start to conference play. They had been, that's a part of what was so frustrating about that, is because we saw in the non-con that this team was, they had a lot of good wins, like really good wins. And it's like, okay, here we go. And then the air got let out. And it got not just let out, like it got let out across the board. And it's like, no way. Like, there's no way that we're doing this again. Well, now they're on a 4-game win streak, and they can cap that 4-game win streak with a win like that. I think that's a totally different energy for everything about Wichita State basketball, which is what's needed for Wichita State basketball, that energy back. And of course, that starts on the court. Of course it does. And once you can get it, that energy gets contagious, and maybe if it continues through whatever this season holds, it carries you into an offseason, into next season, which is all what we all know. Like, we, and it's not that we don't say the most important part out loud. We say it out loud all the time, but we all know that it must carry into an offseason that allows Wichita State to go get players. Like, you can call it the elephant room if you want to. I don't even think that's not even the case anymore. This is what college athletics is now. If you're going to get good players here, you got to have a good program, and you got to have the capital to go do it. And you're not going to raise that capital without a good product on the court, on the field, on the whatever it is you want to describe. So getting to that point right now is mission critical for this program being back to where we thought it, where we think it should be, which is not middle of the pack and in a bad American Athletic Conference, nowhere near where they should be. There's no, and again, this is my opinion, there is no reason that this program should not be in the same footing as Memphis. There is no reason. There's not, to me. But they haven't been successful enough to even be in the same conversation lately. So this is the kind of thing, when I say turn it around, that's what I mean. Like, this can be a lightning rod moment to build that energy moving forward through the rest of the season. But it's thin ice, man. It is thin ice. And they can't have one of those duds creep its way in the American Athletic Conference. And you go, you know, lose to Tulsa or something. It's just like,
well, here's where I'm at today, 24 hours or less than 24 hours after probably the largest win in half of a decade for Wichita State. I don't want to spend time talking about, well, now they can't follow it up with a dud. I want to spend an appropriate amount of time celebrating this team and being positive about the fact that it was a massive, massive victory for Wichita State. And they were clutch and they you know, hit the shots when it counted. They did what they needed. A guy who, honestly, I have heard probably more criticisms of in his time wearing a Shocker uniform than maybe anybody else is Bijan Cortez. Yeah. Everybody I talk to,
glad you brought
he
him
gets
up.
Criticized yeah. nonstop from Shocker faithful. And he had the best game of his career yesterday against Memphis. He made the shot that ultimately led to Wichita State winning the game. I know Xavier Bell hit the free throws at the end to ice it, but it was Bijan Cortez's shot that led Wichita State to winning that game. And, you know, it was so,
well, you're right.
For sure. It was so great to see somebody who's been much maligned while wearing a Shocker uniform. And you know what? Sure, some of the criticisms are probably appropriate. He does turn the ball over too much, sometimes plays fast and loose in his ball handling, all of that. But he had a legacy game for Wichita State. If he wasn't on the court, Wichita State doesn't win that game yesterday. And so that was great. And so rather than talking about shoulda, coulda, woulda, rather than talking about the hole that they dug themselves in early in the conference season, or how they cannot afford to follow up a win like this yesterday with a dud against a team that's inferior to them in the conference, I want to spend a minute appreciating and talking about the importance of the fact that they just had the biggest win in probably half a decade or longer with this program, one that they desperately needed and one that I'm so happy that they finally got.
Yeah, they went out and they did it, and they did what we knew they were capable of, and that matters. And that's what I mean, when, especially when you don't have Bell, who has been that dude for them lately for most of that game. And of all of it, you can't do that unless you play old school Shocker basketball. Old school. Get ugly, get nasty. You look on the floor and you see the size and all the things, the athleticism that Memphis brings to the table. Right. And you out rebound them. Hell yeah. That's Shocker basketball. And it almost, you know, like the offensive rebounding prowess the Shockers showed through the game. Like it was kind of emotional watching it, because then you started to see toward the end of the game, Memphis was getting all those second chance opportunities. And you're like, no, like they've been able to do this all game long. And is it finally running out? Cause Memphis is just so big and, you know, all the things that they're great at. And it was no, like they, every time they dug their heels in and they brought that energy. And that has always been what makes Shocker basketball so special. So love it. Love it. What a game. It was a blast to watch. It was on a Sunday. Everyone was watching that because it was nationally televised on a day where there weren't a lot of games on. And that is so cool for everybody in the program right now to get a taste of that, because that's what it is. Like, that's why you're here. Great game for the Shockers. We will come back. We'll talk more College Hoops. It's College Hoops busy Monday. It's an emotional weekend for college basketball. It's all Brockton Castor at Sports Daily. Don't go away.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you. Jake Valbrock, Tommy Caster alongside you. Max Power producing. Your legend begins aboard the Disney Destiny, the all-new ship from Disney Cruise Line, sailing November 2025. Log in and listen to KFH on Odyssey for a chance to win a trip for four to set sail on the Disney Destiny in this national contest. All you need to do is listen for an hour on the Odyssey app. Find out more at kfhradio.com. Shocker baseball gets a win on the road in their season opening series, go 1-2 against McNeese State. Shocker softball had just an unbelievably daunting task out. And I don't know if anybody, I know we're still in the basketball mode, but a few things are getting underway. Softball had started with just a wild opening weekend. They were unbeaten, and then they've got to go play three top 25 teams out in Clearwater. And they hung right there against Kentucky A&M. They were in that game for a while, and then it got away from them. And I did not see any of Florida State, but they went 1-4. But, you know, that's a building moment. So that stuff is underway, too. But we're basketball time, and it's I can't believe it's February 17th. I cannot believe it's February 17th. They go faster every single year, and we're trying to navigate the end of this college basketball season. And here we go. Sherry not happy that we didn't talk on Facebook. You can also, by the way, this is where these conversations happen. Facebook, YouTube, X, you can always comment. Sherry not happy with us for not talking Shockers in the first hour, even though we did, Sherry. We actually opened the show with it. And but I get it. And that's why, that's what I'm talking about with Wichita State. That's what I want to see, Tommy. I want to see Shocker fans fired up that we spent a segment on KU in the first hour and a guest on K-State and hadn't gotten to Wichita State yet, and people be mad about it. That's a that's good, right? That's what we whenever the fears I think that most of us talk about with Wichita State, that's the one that we fear the most, right? That people aren't fired up about Wichita State. That's the one that scares me to death, is that people are not engaged that way anymore. That's like when I look at that game on Sunday and just you're watching it and you're hearing it, that's what made that feel so good to me, is because it was like, there it is. Like, that's what we all love about Wichita State. And when, you know, you've gone through large portions of this season and last, and you're not seeing that, like, that stuff terrifies me. I'm like, they can't, like, they have to be able to break through all that and get back to where, man, Memphis is coming to town on a Sunday afternoon. Like, you got to be at that game. You at least have got to be taking that game in. You got to be listening to it with us over on KYN. You got to be watching it on TV, or you got to be there. And that's what felt so good about that. And that's what makes you feel so good today after you see it, is it just felt like normal again. And it's been a minute. It has been a minute since we've seen something like that. And so, yeah, we're glad that they did it. I'm glad that they won that game when they had that kind of environment. And guess what? All those people that were there, they're going to remember that. And maybe they'll go back the next time. And maybe we do start to get back to that place we all want to see this program. Because whether you're a KU fan, a K-State fan, a Shocker fan, if you live in Wichita, you want the Shockers to be really good. That's what the beauty of that program. I've always said it feels like a pro team here because the city gets behind it. Whether you're an alumni or not, it's like it's right there for you. And so, man, so happy that they were able to win that game yesterday. And that was so much fun.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is they've been so close before against Memphis, and a team like Memphis had been such a major thorn in the side of Wichita State forever, where they just have not been able to get over the hump. They've played Memphis so close over the last couple of years, and it just seemed like something would happen where Memphis would then ultimately get the win and just shock the Shockers. They were finally able to get that monkey off their back yesterday, and that's huge. It's massive. And I think that, you know, the frustrating things for me, and I think for everybody else, it's always been when they have fallen to teams that are nowhere near their caliber, at least the way that it looks on paper. These opponents, especially in conference play, are nowhere near their level of talent, and what the way that these games should play out usually don't play out that way. But then they'll go and they'll play a team like Memphis to single digits and it takes a last second shot. Like, that's been the overly frustrating thing, I think, in the Paul Mills era up to this point. So the fact that they were able to finally get one over on Penny and the Tigers, number one, that's massive. And then number two, my hope is that that then propels them, you know, and maybe it's some like internal locker room confidence that where they can say, look, like we took down the top dog in the conference, so we shouldn't fall flat to teams that are beneath us in the American. Like, we should handle our business. We are at the top of this conference as opposed to talent, or in regards to talent. We need to be able to go out there and handle our business with teams that we're supposed to beat. And that's been a struggle so far this season. I mean, let's be real. It has been.
Sure.
They've had an opportunity now to take what they were able to get from the Memphis game and build on that and get that momentum going. They're already on a 4-game winning streak. The next two are against teams that are right above them in the conference standings. And Florida.
The next four are against top tier teams.
Right. So you've got to take what you learned against Memphis and hopefully realize, like, hey, we did it once against the very top in the conference. We have the capability, we have the talent to be able to do it again against these other teams.
Well, and it has to be the greatest feeling for the coaches who can just say, we executed a game plan and we took down Memphis. So just keep doing that, right? Like, let's keep executing a game plan. It was a great game plan. A lot of credit to the coaches. They put Memphis in a position that Memphis was not comfortable in. go put teams in a position they're not comfortable in. Make that your thing. Play angry. All the great, you know, they had the MTXE stuff on, like, but they haven't played angry enough at times this year. Like, I do think that's their best path. I mean, we heard, you know,
I mean, it's a cliche. I call it for what it is. It's a cliche, and that's fine.
It's a catchphrase, but that's like a slogan. But it's not that. I'm not saying like what I'm saying is that style of basketball, that play angry style of basketball, which is you push people around when they come into Charles Koch Arena, and you don't like you're going to get nasty. I think that stuff matters, and I don't know that, you know, this team has been nasty enough all the time this year, but that's the identity of a program. And it just also, in my opinion, happens to be their best path to winning these kinds of games is you got to get a little nasty. Like you're not going to out pretty. Wichita State's not going to out pretty anybody the rest of the way.
Yeah.
They're not going to come out and shoot the lights out on everybody. Like that's not going to happen.
I don't think that this team with this coach and these players necessarily need a catchphrase. I don't think they need a cliche. I don't think they need, you know, I don't necessarily think that it's like a, oh man, like, you know, they need to channel their inner MTXE or their inner play. They just need to go and do what they do. And what the game plan that they implemented against Memphis, where they were tough on the glass. They make clutch shots when it mattered the most. Like that identity, like I've said it before, like, Ron Baker's not walking through those doors. Xavier McDaniel's not walking through those doors. They've got to develop their own identity in this program. And you know what? We've seen that more over the last four games than what we saw at any point during the beginning of this season, even probably going back to last season. Like they had developed their own identity, I think. That's propelled them to winning four in a row and taking down Memphis. We'll see. And I'm hopeful that it's more than just a flash in the pan in a four-game collection of games, and it can be in more of like an eight-game stretch if it can carry on into the conference tournament and beyond. Keep in mind, you know, if they are able to continue to produce at a high level, we could be talking about a 20-win team when it's all said and done this year. We could potentially be talking about a team that makes a run in the conference tournament. We could potentially be talking about a team that gets some kind of postseason invitation. Like those things happen. They can happen. You've got to carry on more than a four-game winning streak, but this has been a really, really good start to at least getting things back on track for Wichita State.
It's going to be a tough stretch. And you know, whether you hang play angry on the wall on a poster, I don't really care. But they need to play that way. It's what Kyle Lindstedt pointed to a week ago when we talked to him. They got to get back to that style of basketball. That's what they have to do. And I totally agree. And they did. They pushed Memphis around. They out-rebounded Memphis. Memphis is as physically imposing a basketball team as you could draw on paper, right? And they pushed them around at home. And they're going to have to push people around. You can't go play... Wichita State can't go play and hope they just all of a sudden start having a great shooting night. Like that's probably not going to happen for them. And if it does, it's icing on the cake, but that can't be the baseline. The baseline has to be the toughness and the rebounding. I mean, they've got Quincy Ballard out there, right? They've got enough size. Harlan Beverly is big for his position. Ronnie DeGray is sizable. Like that's something I really do think this team can do. And if they do it consistently down the stretch here, I think they're going to win a bunch of games. You know, I also don't want to forget that they squeaked by UTSA and, you know, they also have those. So, you know, they've had the wins here, but man, at Florida Atlantic on a turn and then a quick turn back home to Tulane, UAB, North Texas, those are the next four. This is going to be a fun stretch, and I hope it is fun. I hope it's a really fun stretch because you're going to have four good games. Like you're at four as good a games most of the time as you're going to get in this conference, and they're coming in the next four while you're on a four-game win streak. Guess what, by the way? Florida Atlantic's on a five-game win streak, so you're not catching them off guard. They're hot too, and you got to go to their place. That's a long trip, and we know their pedigree. Their pedigree's been good for 3-4 years now.
4-0 in the next four is probably unrealistic.
that's a big,
you know, answer. but 3-1, I think, you sure. know, had they not beaten Memphis yesterday, 3-1 probably would have been unrealistic, but I think they could probably go 3-1. My guess would be what's the one that probably stands out? The North Texas game out of the four. Maybe even Florida Atlantic on Thursday,
might be Florida Atlantic,
on the road. I mean, that one's going to be obviously a pretty tough test. But I do think that if you get out of it at 2-2, you would have probably loved to get another one there to be able to close that gap even more and to be able to improve your standings in the American. Because remember, and I brought this up before, I brought this up a couple of weeks ago, right as this winning streak was getting started, like at the very infancy of the 4-game winning streak, I remember saying on this program, what the Shockers are playing for right now is an improved standing in the American, because what they're trying to do is they want to play their way out of having to play an early round game in the conference tournament. You want to be able to like take the first day or two off, you know, in the conference tournament. Like, you don't want to have to be in a, what would it be, like a, you know, 14-11 matchup or whatever it is in the American Conference tournament. Like, you'd like to be able to get an opening round bye. And the only way that they can do that is if they improve in their standings in conference play. They've been able to do that in the last 4 games. They're now 5-7. You know, you're now around the middle of the conference. If you can gain a little bit more ground, get to 500 in conference play, maybe even have a winning record when it's all said and done in conference play, I think you'll take that, especially when it comes down to seeding in the conference tournament. Because if you can, again, go on a run in the conference tournament, you already took down Memphis once, you might have to do it again, but you've shown that you can, then there might be a backdoor run to the NCAA tournament. You never know.
Well, it's such an interesting year. In all honesty, because the way we saw the team play and begin their season, right, which included nice wins, Northern Iowa, Western Kentucky, St. Louis is a little bit different because of who was out there healthy. But remember, they beat Minnesota. East Tennessee State is a pretty good win. And then it just got confusing.
K-State.
Even though that's not the K-State we're currently seeing, it was K-State by 19 points.
It's a Big 12 team.
But there were moments where it was confusing. Like UMKC, right? Like, wait, what was that? How much they got smashed by Florida. That was just like, ooh, okay. Like, they had those moments and then it just unraveled. But if you look at, because we've seen, I think, very much the floor this year, and we've probably seen the ceiling. We probably saw it on Sunday. But if you look at both of those things and you think about what that ceiling is, there's not a team in the American that the Shockers shouldn't be able to beat. Now, I'm not saying they've got to go win them all, so don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is, individually in those games, they got a chance to win any of them. Like, so one game at a time, all of that stuff is very true for this team. I think the obvious finish line is at a different place between them and K-State, but it's not all that different than what we're seeing out of K-State. The capability to beat any team is there that they'll play. Can they do it consistently, or can they do it consistently enough and not let the air that is so inflated the program on a Monday following a big Sunday win begin to deflate out? And we'll see, because 3 of these 4 games are on national television. That's a big deal for Wichita State right now. You don't like get these good performances going. Like, people remember that stuff. Football's gone. There's no more football. Now people are channel surfing. It's like, oh, look, there's Wichita State. They're good again.
I know it's a total hypothetical here, but you know, let's say a 4-2 finish down the stretch in the regular season in conference play, that's probably realistic, probably on the table. You know, when you've got the next 4 that are against top tier opponents, and then, you know, you end with a home game against Tulsa, where, I mean, remember, they didn't play well when they were at Tulsa, when things were really, really bad a few weeks ago for the Shockers. But let's say 4-2 in conference play to end the regular season. At that point, you're looking at, what is that, a 19-12 overall record for the Shockers, mm-hmm. Going into the conference tournament,
and you win a game or two,
9-9, you're back to 500 in the conference season. And then at that point, you maybe try to grab a couple of games, you know, in the conference tournament. You know, I think there could, I'm not saying NCAA tournament here, don't get me wrong, they don't have enough quality wins, they've got bad losses, but you could be talking about some kind of postseason invite. And if that happens, like, just think about this for a second. If that happens, let's say they're an NIT team, potentially. They're an NIT team, okay? when they're 1-7 in conference play and 11-10 overall, and everybody is ready to just absolutely bury this program and totally start over and throw it into the fire and blow the whole thing up, I don't think anybody thought that any kind of postseason could even be on the table for Wichita State. 4-2 in their remaining conference games and a win or two in the conference tournament, that could get you there. That could get you there, but it all is predicated on the four-game winning streak that they're currently on right now and a ranked win against Memphis yesterday. You can't understate how important that is.
No, and if they're in position, they'll get an invite because people come to the games and these tournaments know that. But it's the point, and the reason I was so happy about yesterday is let's imagine a world where this is all successful a year or two from now, and they're back to where we think they should be. That's where you'll look. It will be that game against Memphis. You'll look at this stretch of basketball, if that happens, as the reason it happens. Now the priority becomes make sure that wasn't a blip on the radar, right? Make sure that wasn't a one-off. And you know, get after it, because these games are not easy. Like, these are tough games. This is absolutely the toughest stretch of basketball Wichita State will have played collectively over this season. Good news is they just won the first one of that stretch, and now you've got four more. You play all the top teams all at once. Tommy, it's hard to really grasp the disappointment of this KU basketball season so far. Right. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. So we'll just call it up to this point. Right. I don't want to put the end of things on it, because I think far too much of Bill Self to do that, quite honestly. But if you look at just up to this point singularly and the disappointment that has come with it up to this point, they already have more conference losses than Bill Self's ever had. They already have more losses in an entire season than Bill Self has ever had. I don't think he's ever finished worse than third in the Big 12. Right now they're tied for fifth. And when you hear those things, but then know where the expectations began to begin the year, which was preseason number one, which was, you know, a team with all the experience coming back, with the portal players that were brought in who were as highly coveted as really any that were out there, especially Rylan Griffin, AJ Storr. When you know all of that, and then you hear where they are now in the context of the program and where the program has been, man, what a bummer. Right? What a wild, wild disappointment that you could have expectations so high and to have come so short of them up to this point. Again, I'm not putting a nail in any coffin with Bill Self there and the talent that they do have, but I do think it is right to look at up to this point, and up to this point, it's just been nuts. I mean, we're talking about a preseason number one that had wins over Duke, that had all of these things, that were supposed to be coming home to play in Wichita, that were supposed to compete for a Big 12 championship and be a national championship contender. And now it's like, man, are they middle of the pack in the Big 12? Are they even going to be able to get to the middle of the pack of the Big 12 by the time the dust settles? I can't even believe it. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I hate it. And it's so sad.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this team has shown that there isn't a whole lot of optimism, whether you're talking about the team themselves, you know, the players, are they optimistic with one another? Cause they sure don't look like it. The body language isn't there. Bill Self has probably been more critical of this team publicly than a lot of other teams that I remember. I know that, like, there have been times over the course of the 20 plus years that he's been at KU where he's been critical of his teams, but I certainly don't recall, you know, the last time he's been this consistently critical. You know, and he basically, after the game on Saturday, was like, to be honest, I don't know what to tell him anymore. Like, I don't know what to tell him, you know, to get them to perform. It reminds me an awful lot. Do you remember that stretch of basketball at Wichita State with Greg Marshall, when Greg Marshall in post game was like, honestly, I don't even know what to tell them anymore. Like, I don't even know how to coach them. I don't know what to do. Like, they're just not buying in. The year that they had all the freshmen, and then there were the transfers and all that. It reminds me kind of that a little bit, because Bill Self is saying a lot of those same things. Like, he's just flat out is like, I don't know how to reach him. I don't know what to do to get them up and ready to go for the game and locked in and consistent. One of the examples he used from the Utah game was that they started off the game in some kind of defensive set that apparently they had been working on for several days leading up to the game. And Self said after the game that the players were surprised that they were running that defensive set. And it's like, guys, we've been working on this for the last several days leading up to this game. Why are you surprised? How are you surprised? Like, are you not locked in? Are you not paying attention? Are you not studying the way that you should? Like, it's a combination of a lot of different things. And to me, it shows that while there may be really, really talented individual performers on this team, that doesn't overcompensate. That doesn't make up for the fact that collectively they're not getting the job done.
But isn't that what's part of, that's part of the reason it's so surprising to me, is because it, and this is on, it's on me. I think it's on most people. That was the thing that you felt like, because they have so much experience coming back, that wasn't going to be a problem, right? Most of the team, like, they had this luxury of bringing it all back. That's part of the biggest surprise to me. Is that, because that didn't seem like they solved what we thought was the problem last year. They brought some shooters in, right? They did all this, and nothing changed. Like, it is very much like, in fact, it's worse than it was a year ago. I went back and looked. It's like, it's hard to put it in context, because I was like, well, I even said this in the last hour, we've seen them struggle down the stretch and then it clicks by the end of it. And I was like, but that struggling, and it was the national championship year was one of these, was they lost a couple of Big 12 games in a row right before the end of the season. And then, of course, and then they go on their run. But that season, to me, I remember that season because people are like, oh, you know, David McCormick's not good enough down low for them to do this. Remy Martin's not working out, like all this stuff. And then they got there anyway. But even like the struggles at that point, where they were in a position to win the Big 12, and I think they tied that year for the Big 12 title, and they lost like two in a row. Now we're looking at, like, by any way you look at it, the least successful Bill Self season. Now, most teams would love to have this as your worst season, but that's what we're looking at the moment. And I don't think, and you know, great viewers and listeners like Rick, who are at their wit's end with this KU team, absolutely no chance tomorrow night too, he says, for KU. And I think you're probably about at this point too, Tommy, based on the conversations we have. But like that is now the down point. And that's what's so crazy. That is the point of no return. Like, there's no chance for this team, which is wild for me to even think about. And I'm not that far off of that. But it's wild to think about when you think about where this team was preseason, and honestly, where they were playing at the beginning of the season, right? It's not even like we had these wild expectations and they've never led up to them. Well, that's not true at all. They beat a good North Texas team by 12 early in the year. They beat Michigan State. We know that. They had the close loss to Dayton, and that was like they had the Michigan State win. They didn't play North Texas. They played North Carolina is what I meant to say. They have the win over North Carolina. They have the win over Michigan State. They have the win over Duke. They get this season. They had what did they start? Like 9-10-0 or something? And then you had Creighton. And then you had Creighton and Missouri, and it was like, ugh, where did that come from?
Well, and look, like, since Thanksgiving, if you take everything that they did pre-Thanksgiving out of the equation, I saw this stat after the game. They're 1-6 against teams that are projected to be in the NCAA tournament. 1-6. The only win was the home win against Iowa State on Big Monday. That's it. 1-6 since Thanksgiving on teams that are currently right now projected to be in the NCAA tournament. That's why I've been saying for like the last week or so, for me, the largest concern that I can think of is they're going to get bounced early in the NCAA tournament. When they go up against a team, and I know that, like, we're talking about the Utah game. They're not a tournament team. They're not a bad team, but they're not a great team. I don't even really care about that necessarily. I'm thinking about more of the higher level opponents that they've either faced in the Big 12 or late in the non-conference that they haven't beaten. They're going to face teams like that in the NCAA tournament, and they're going to go home early. They're going to go home the opening weekend. Whether they win a game, I don't even know if they'll do that. But with the way that they've been playing since Thanksgiving against teams that are tournament teams, they've not been playing well at all. On top of that, how about this for a stat? In the last 2 years, KU is 6-13 on the road. 6-13 in road games. Now, again, March Madness, you're not playing a true road game. You're playing on a neutral court. And, you know, early on this season, KU played a few, you know, neutral court games where they played really well against the top-tier opponents. But overall, when they've been away from Allen Fieldhouse, they've not been good the last 2 years. Like, they've lost more than double the games that they've won in true road games. That's concerning. The fact that they can't win on the road and the fact that they're not beating tournament teams, those things combined are symptoms of a larger issue here that I don't think this team has the toughness. I don't think they have the execution. I don't think they have the focus. And I don't think they have even just the general talent outside of Hunter Dickinson to really be able to make any kind of noise in March.
Well, I agree with all of it. This year to last year feels a little different. Last year, we knew what the recipe was to beat them, right? Like, I remember, like, oh no, they play a good 3-point shooting team. They're going to be in real trouble. That's what we kept saying last year. It was obviously true. Can you even point to what the other team needs to be able to do well to beat KU? Because now it feels more like
KU can do a variety of things.
KU chose not to show up today.
Right.
KU doesn't have a 2-game winning streak in its last 7 games.
Yeah.
They've won 2 in a row in since like late January. It's been 7 games since they won 2 in a row.
We and everybody else have put a lot of criticism on the Big 3, right? And I think deservedly so. Yeah, criticism, like, there are things
deserves.
There are things with, you know, Dickinson that frustrate people. There are things with Harrison Adams that absolutely frustrate people. Like, that's all well and good, but how about this for another stat that I just found? It's not good to take, you know, individual plus minuses in individual games because things can vary so much. But how about you take it in a larger scale? In Big 12 play, there are 2 players right now for Kansas where their plus minus is in the minus, and that's Rylan Griffin and AJ Storr. Those are the only 2 players on the team where in Big 12 play, all of the conference games, those 2 guys have been the worst out of everybody on the entire roster. I know plus minus, you know, it's kind of deceiving because it takes a lot of, you know, different things into consideration, the minutes played and like that sort of thing. But those 2 guys have not consistently shown up at all in Big 12 play. And when you've got, and I'm going to take Hunter Dickinson out of the picture here. When you've got KJ Adams and DeJuan Harris, who, you know, are going to get significant minutes, but they're already probably playing at about their ceiling. You have to have other production. And if it's not coming from those newcomers, if they're not able to consistently make it happen, they're in big time trouble.
And we saw a game, because they both got in foul trouble to varying degrees, where Dickinson and Adams didn't play as many minutes as they normally do. And nobody stepped up, right? The opportunity was there and nobody took it. Nobody seized it. So look, I don't know. We have too much basketball to play for me to make proclamations with them as far as February 17th. The proclamation I can make is how disappointing it's been so far and how many things are going wrong and affected by it. As far as what can happen down the stretch, it's college basketball. It's Bill Self. Something could spark a team to get back to, again, the team that was able to beat Duke and Michigan State, North Carolina, not North Texas, North Carolina this year. Like, those, you know, not that North Carolina is great, but at the time that was a big time win. Wildly disappointing. We'll come back. We'll look ahead. K-State plays tonight. Don't go away. Sports Day.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.